You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your servant, Lord. Thank you for his safe travel, for the time that he'll spend with us. Thank you for gathering us this day and remembering that you became flesh and blood to reconcile and redeem our flesh and blood. As we are gathered now, be in the midst of us, Lord Jesus. We give you thanks. We give you praise. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. My ethnic roots are people that would be known to be quite stoic. It just didn't work with me. I didn't inherit that. I'm a very emotional person, and at my point in life, I'm not even remotely ashamed of it. I'm somewhat proud of it. I'm emotional because I'm really honored and delighted to be here with you. I consider so many on the staff to be dear friends, mentors and colleagues and friends on the staff here at the Advent. So I repeat, I'm really very delighted. I ran past Gil the theme of evangelism for my presentation. Gil is always just very friendly. He thought that would be fine. This actually might be something that you are quite good at, and possibly it's something that I could learn from you. But that said, I hope we have some time for questions. So I'm going to try to get through this material, but in my memory of the dean's class, there's always excellent questions and comments that people have. So I'm going to start this way. It's not just Baptists that have a testimony. You have a testimony. And there's lots about your faith that you can share. The little Sunday school song, Hide It Under a Bushel, how does that go? No. I'm going to let it what? Shine. And so what I want to do is simply encourage you with that. God has powerfully graced you in so many ways. One of the most important things how God has graced you is he has given you a community of fellow believers. In my own denominational or confessional tradition, we, like Episcopalians, talk about word and sacrament ministry. It's also balanced with something which is called conversation and consolation. I really like those two C's, conversation and consolation. God gives you that right here at the Advent, conversation and consolation. All kinds of Americans in today's world, we've taken it for granted for who knows how long. People live in silos. I don't need to tell you how politically divided our nation has been over the last number of years. But one of the worst things about that is that people live in silos. And people who would exchange ideas, people who would build each other up, people who would allow themselves to be persuaded by others, some of us might even change our minds. When we live in silos, that doesn't happen. It's only ever an echo chamber. One of the exciting things about being in a congregation, and especially here at the Advent, you are not in a silo. You jostle with other people. You exchange ideas, conversation. But not only that, there is consolation. What does that mean? Our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd, who, as we learn this morning and we will honor this week, who has given his life blood for you, who lives for you, who is your advocate, as we hear in the comfortable words, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, he is there for you. He consoles you. And he gives you a community of brothers and sisters who are also there to console you when the chips get down, when you grieve. I think we sell ourselves short. There are so many powerful things that happen in congregations. There are so many powerful things that happen in particular in this congregation. Chances are, if you come here every Sunday, you take it for granted. But if you think of the decades-long commitment that this congregation has had to mentoring young people, that is remarkable. It's not just the day school that you operate, but the history of outreach to high school kids, mentoring them, middle school kids, supporting them. That is so important, because if the world was confusing when many of us were young, I was young in the 70s, the world was confusing at that time. Think just how confusing much more it is today. The power of a congregation to help people. Conversation and consolation in addition to word and sacrament. The worship here is, I'm not going to use the word traditional, I'm going to use the word classic. Classic is something incredibly powerful. And this congregation has it down to a T. I want to add one more dimension. One thing about Episcopalians. Episcopalians are not afraid to think. Episcopalians, in fact, treasure thinking. They love thinking. In this congregation, the thinking that we have is thoughts that take, that they're all taken captive to Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ does not close off thinking. Through Jesus Christ, our minds are sanctified, and we are permitted to look at challenging questions. And from the perspective of the Holy Scriptures, and from the perspective of the church, we can wrestle with these questions. In today's world, folks, that is extremely important. Young people who are raised in other congregations, many of them never see how the life of the heart and the life of the mind are connected, because it is never mentored for them. They get an upbeat pep rally in the worship music of the congregation that they go to, but there is always a disconnect between the heart and the mind. You, as Episcopalians, don't make that disconnect. You are open. We are to love the Lord our God with our heart, our soul, our reason, and our strength. Again, what I'm telling you is, you make it easy for me to talk about evangelism, because you have so many strengths that you bring that can make such a difference, and has made a difference here since when the late 1870s here in Birmingham. You have so many strengths. To go back to that, hide it under a bushel, what? No, I'm going to let it shine. I'm telling you that you have a testimony. But many of us don't want to be rude. We don't want to hurt others. We want to honor them. We don't want to be pushy. And so we're not always used to saying our testimony. For many lay people, we're apt to think, oh, that's why we have pastors of the church. They're the ones who will be doing that work, and they do. But their job in Jesus is to empower you, also to help you give your testimony. At this congregation, we would, I think, have a gospel-centered testimony. In other words, it isn't like the sort of thing that you might have heard at some point in your Christian faith walk, of somebody saying, every moment that you're not sharing Jesus, maybe 80,000 people are dying and going to hell. That's living as if there is a gun at your head. And I don't think we have to be so compulsive about our witness. It's the Holy Spirit who calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the church. And so we put it in the Holy Spirit's hands. The Holy Spirit is going to bring all in His time who are to be saved to salvation. So that means we can walk quite freely. We don't have to be terribly uptight. And in my opinion, I think we can share our faith in a very natural kind of way. And I'm going to push you with this because I'm going to frame it in these terms, especially for those of us who are mature. That's not all of us, but there's some of us here who are, I would have said old, but I'm not going to use that language. Okay. I can't emphasize enough, no matter how polite you want to be, that your family, your friends, your community will never have the pleasure or the joy to truly know who you are if you hide it under a bushel. You are here worshiping, and you are here at the dean's class because your faith means a lot to you. In fact, for perhaps most people here, it means everything to you. It is the center or the core from which you live or you operate. We might think, oh, I don't want to be pushy. We might think, I really want to honor others. I don't want to step on their toes. But I think, in the words of Martin Luther, what sharing the gospel is about is one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. And I think that is something that you're hooked into. You have experienced new life in Christ. You have experienced the power of community. You've experienced the goodness of conversation and consolation. Your sins have been forgiven for Jesus' sake. You claim the gospel promise as you've heard it this morning, and that promise sustains you. Where there is forgiveness of sin, there is new life. There is a new you and a new hope. Again, you might say, I can't possibly talk about faith the way the staff here does. And that's probably true. They have all kinds of education. But you talk about it the way that you talk about it. And God's Holy Spirit is going to work with you. If you're a shy person, I understand that. I get that. But I'm urging you, when you share your faith, it makes an incredible difference. It makes an incredible impact. Now, you can't control the outcome. If remember from the parable of the sower, the soil might be sandy or rocky or shallow, or God willing, it's going to be fertile. An analogy, comparison, metaphor I like is something, any number of sports that involves some kind of ball. If it's soccer, you might get a chance to kick that ball. You have control of that ball, but you have control of it only for a very short period. You don't know exactly where that ball is going to go. The same with sharing your faith. There's no guarantee, and there's always the possibility of rejection. Some people don't like to be rejected. I understand that. I get that. I'm going to put it in these terms. You reserve for yourself that you have a right not to accept everything about everyone. And I think that's wholesome and good. Other people reserve a right about that with you. And so if you end up being rejected as you share your message, that's just part of human experience. And you have the resources to withstand that. You have the resources to live with that. We live in a time, Smith at Notre Dame, Christopher Smith, I think is his name. He's pointed out in a book, has religion become obsolete? By obsolete, he doesn't mean it's disappeared, but it's more like for him like vinyl records. You might collect it and you might enjoy it. But for the most part, when we listen to music, we're going to do so through a digital means. Jesus is not obsolete. The community that is offered at the Advent is not obsolete. The comfortable words are not obsolete. And for that matter, the Ten Commandments are not obsolete. Many people might look for meaning in their life elsewhere other than the church. But when our Lord Jesus established his church, he established a living body that is able to guide people through all phases of their life, from pre-birth up until the time of their death. That is a fairly powerful thing. We know all the things that have lent themselves for church attendance going down over the last couple of decades. We no longer have the army of volunteers that we might have had when I was a child back in the 60s. Often people are working 24/7. A percentage of Americans have affordability issues. They often have to take on a second part-time job. Unfortunately, we live with a notion of a false narrative of religion as anti-science. And that's simply embedded in popular culture. And it's often embedded, unfortunately, in universities. Nothing could be further from the case. Were there not the Christian faith, it's not clear that we would have science at all. And if I had more time, I'd go into depth with that. For many of our fellow citizens, it's more important that my child is in a traveling team. And if they practice on Sunday morning, I want my child to get a very good scholarship to go to university. High divorce rates has lent itself to low church attendance. I hear this from many of my students who will say to me, well, we used to go to church every Sunday. My parents got a divorce and we stopped going. No doubt the stress level of the divorce affects the family. And lots of singles don't always feel comfortable in church. And adulthood has been postponed. All of those factors that Smith points out makes a big difference in why over the last 15 years or so that church attendance at church has suffered. But dear friends in Christ, I simply urge you, hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it what? Shine. You have something precious in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not all Christians hear or give the gospel as a promise, as good news. For many Christians, it's simply new law added on to the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are God's word. They are holy and good. They provide order and structure to life. They limit abuse and violence in the world. They accuse us of our sin and make us realize that we need a Savior. But the good news isn't simply more and more and more law. The good news is, as we have heard it, for Jesus' sake, you belong to God. Your sins are forgiven you. God loves you because he sees you in the righteousness of Christ. He sees you clothed in Christ. And God never sees your sin because all he sees is the advocate Jesus Christ. You are forgiven and you, as we heard this morning, are free. Those are powerful words. I have just a few minutes for comments or questions. Is there any? I think that's the case, because there's worship at 11, yes? Is there comments, questions? Yes?
Just interestingly, in a Bible study I'm in, most of the men are over 70. But this semester we've all been, each week one of us will give our testimony. And many are shy, or I don't have anything to say, but they've all been so varied and interesting, and all of them have had something very powerful to say. So I would encourage people to, and many of them, it's their first time to give a testimony.
Amen. It's a little bit harder for men, I think, and that's why men should be encouraged. I need more time to to say more about why, but hallelujah. I think that's exciting. And I think it's so important for men in today's world to provide a testimony. I think it's also important for men to pray with their, if they have children, to pray with their children. I'm not undermining the work and ministry of women. It's we have an equality. But there's a tendency that men over the last decades have let themselves off the hook. I don't have to be all that Christian. And I think that hurts families, it hurts men, it hurts congregations. And so I think it's great for men to step up. That, again, that's my two bits. Yeah. Any other comments or questions?
Any tips on how to start the conversation?
I'm not into a formulaic kind of thing. A formulaic would be, if you remember from the like the four spiritual laws or something like that, that's formulaic. I'm not into formulaic. I can get that. Christianly, I would worry about the four spiritual laws. It's not obvious to me that they adequately convey the gospel. But I go back is your narrative about you. When you talk about you, because you do, and you should. Many of you have been important leaders in your work, in your community, in your families. And when you talk about you, I'm urging you to let your kids know, kids, I love Jesus. I believe in Jesus. If it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I would be today. And that's just so simple. I'm grateful for Advent. I'm grateful for the Cathedral Church of the Advent. I'm grateful for the impact and the difference it has made in my life. And it can make a difference in your life too. Some of us have kids who have walked away from the faith. My children haven't. But some of it, and that can be really aggravating. Some of us deal with kids that have just walked away from us, which is really sad. There's all kinds of mature people, I'll say, that hurt. But all I'm saying is, it's a natural thing, is you don't have to be under the gun at all. It just is when you talk about who you are to people, I think it's natural for you to be sharing how important Jesus and Advent are to you. Because they are, or you wouldn't be here. And people don't know who you are if you don't. It's just a natural thing. By the way, I'm really active at the Advent. It's a really cool place. There's things done there that aren't done elsewhere. And it's really good and really cool. And I really urge you, might come with me. I'm happy to pick you up. Jesus has made a difference in my life. I'm just really quickly, because my time is limited. When I was young, I struggled with things like anxiety and depression. I am so grateful to Christian mentors that kept me on the straight and narrow. I don't know where I would be apart from Christian mentors. And that's because they were willing to share their faith. Part of where this comes from is my own narrative, my own story. I am grateful to God for mentors in the church who supported me, that gave me hope. And when we don't connect with young people, oh, they're not interested in us. That's just not true at all. You have no idea the impact you make on a young person when you ask about them. It changes their lives. It meant so much to me that people were not of my blood in the congregation were deeply interested in my life. That is, to me, the power of Jesus, because you don't find that elsewhere in wider culture. My hunch is in the South is people are good neighbors. But even as good as that is, it's not as powerful as what can happen in church. Do I still have time for one more question? Sure. Yeah.
Have you seen situations where you didn't know how to start the conversation and you just prayed that the Holy Spirit would start it through them? They would say something that would be a perfect segue and it wouldn't seem so out of the blue coming in and sharing your faith.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to add this. Many of us who are uncertain about sharing our faith, sometimes we don't trust ourselves to talk about it. If you say, I don't have the answer to that. If somebody has why do bad things happen to good people? Well, I don't have the answer to that. There is a book in the Bible, Job, that deals with that. Let's talk further about that. But it, for many of us, it's taking a risk. And many of us are not willing to take that risk. I urge you, take the risk. Because you're going to live. Take the risk. You following me? Take the risk. Some of us don't have a problem with that. But I'm urging you to take a risk. I have had such great talks on the airplane. You might think, oh, your clothes in there. You can't walk and get away. You know, do I dare talk about this? But if somebody asks, I'll tell them. And let's see what happens. And here I am. I'm still alive. So I, in my old age, with the young people I work with, I am way more apt to put myself out there and put my faith out there. So, I think is that it's almost what, five till. So thank you. God bless you all.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you'll join us for one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.